Hello.
Hi. How's it going?
That's the most awkward intro I think we've had in a long time. Welcome to another
episode. Had some awkward ones, too. That's what's impressive.
Okay, what's the most awkward intro Best of Five has ever done? Not Best of Three, Best of Five.
I think if for those who didn't watch Combo Breaker that year, it was me doing the bit when I was eating Portillo's.
Oh yeah, we at the studio could not hear it, so we just knew we saw it happening. We didn't know what you were talking about.
And y'all cut the best bit. Y'all cut the best line. It closed on a killer line, and you cut it off.
You could blame the fact that the tech that we had was outdated. I mean, not that it was outdated, but it just didn't work for what we needed it to do. You know what I'm saying? Not mean.
I know what you mean. I hear you. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
And I don't necessarily think it was like a hardware problem. I think it was a me knowing what the fuck I was doing problem. I'm sorry for cursing. Well,
yeah. Oh, God. Okay. So, I have an announcement to make.
Oh, well, announce away,
Also, welcome to Best 05, your Irish fighting game talk show.
Wait, why are you saying that?
Because I can't pronounce Best of Five.
Oh. Okay. I like Best of Five better, to be completely honest, but go ahead. What's your announcement?
For those of you who did not see on Twitter, we have a new way to reach us or to follow us. You know about us being on SoundCloud, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeart, all of those, pretty much every one of your favorite podcast locations. But we've also got a new way to follow on YouTube. I will throw the link in chat shortly. There we go.
That's right, we're YouTubers now. YouTube, what's going on today, man? Listen. That's a reference that I don't think anybody in here was going to get. But yeah, welcome to the land of YouTube. That is where we are. Sorry, my camera was a little bit...
So we are... There's the link that I'm throwing
DJ Cream's asking when? Last week. Oh, where? Okay. There.
The reason I brought this up is because last week was the first time I ever used actual video editing software. Instead of like Windows Movie Maker stuff to make tribute videos to my favorite Sonic ship. I mean, what?
Well, we're going to talk about Sonic later in the show, so.
And yeah, the big thing is, it's a lot harder for me to edit swearing in the video editor, at least for now, as it was to do it just in audio. And Alon went on a cursing streak last week. I think you swore like 20 times.
I don't know when. This is the thing. I don't know when I do. But you know what I do know is that Beaver for the Win has been here for 39 months. And I think that's the longest, right? Although every time I say that, there's always someone that comes in with like a month long.
Beaver's got the founder's badge. So Beaver has been here ever since we got that subscribe button. Which reminds me, if you like what we do, mash that subscribe button.
I'm sorry. Smack the like button. Oh, I
dropped. I'm on that YouTube tech now. So,
do we need to announce anything else?
We're your weekly FGC talk show. I'm Steve Jurek, aka Ace King Offsuit, as you can see up there. That. Point to the C. That is your wonderful host, Elon.
I mean, you're just doing my job for me today, so maybe you should be the host from now on. I'll just, you know, go hitchhike like the end of the Hulk.
Well, if you insist. Anyway, we had a wonderful weekend of FGC action. So, Steve, can you hit us with that wonderful recap? Yes, I can.
Keep going, you're doing
come
great.
Come back! Come back, please, Alon. I need you to throw it to me.
Steve, hit us with recap.
I am a terrible person. Street Fighter League, the US edition had its penultimate week this past week, its penultimate episode, I should say, of the regular season. And it was a perfectly bad ending for UIU. Another tough loss, another 3-2 defeat, this time to All In. Four of their last five battles ended in 3-2 defeats. So even though they're 0-10, it was close, though. It was close, though. And then Alpha 3 locked up the top spot in the playoffs with a 3-0 win over Nasser. It sets up a very interesting last week. You've got Dynamite versus Alpha 3. Alpha 3, nothing to play for. Dynamite, right on the cusp. They need a win to have a chance at making the playoffs. And then you have Psycho Shinobi versus Nasser. Winner of that one, definitely in. Loser could be in trouble, depending on how that other result goes. So big, big matchup coming up next.
Man, I'm so sad for UIU.
Can we say this? It wasn't like they played bad. They struggled early and they got smashed a lot. But like I said, the second half of the season, they played everybody, pretty much everybody close. It was 3-2, 3-2, 3-1, 3-2, 3-2.
Yeah, but in 5 years when we're like, hey, let's look at the history of SFL, we're always going to see that 10-0. Sad times. Sad times for UIU. Anywho, Steve, what's next?
Did you get a chance to check out any Frosty Faustings?
I did. I watched the Plus R top eight, and it was awesome.
Dude, the only thing I got to check out was a little bit of Marvel 3. Mm-hmm. And Ray Ray was looking as ridiculous as ever. He ended up winning the Marvel tournament at Frosty Faustings. As you see, the full list of tournament winners there. Chimera, your Power Rangers champion. Dakil Sage, your Skullgirls champion. Joy Boy! Holding it down in Alpha 2 for us older FGC members. Thank you for representing. Shadow 20Z, your Tekken champion. Santa with Muscles, easily my favorite name. Winner of both the Windjammers and the Steve Awesome Name competition. And then you see the rest of the winners there. Mighty Unjust, your MK11 Ultimate champion. So congratulations to everyone. Didn't that Plus R tournament have like 400 entrants?
It was the biggest Plus R tournament to date, I think. However, I do want to point something out. The grand finals was Elven Shadow versus KB Nova. I had to look at his name again. Why is Elven Shadow getting second on his own tournament? I'm calling shenanigans. I mean, yeah, he's really good. So me calling shenanigans is completely a joke and he's a great player. But you know what? That grand finals was actually pretty hype because it was the character who is broken. Well, broken. Because every time Zappa got the sword on the screen, it was like watching Vanilla Sagat throw fireballs. It was rough. But man, Elven Shadow like fighting that and like made it really close, like brought it down to like last game, like reset the bracket and everything. It was crazy. And yes, I do want them to put the Zappa sword in Strive. I've been playing, you know what? I've been playing Prosar, and I've been playing the shit out of Zappa. Zappa's fun as hell. Yeah, it's like if Vanilla Sagat fireballs hit overhead, like if Vanilla Sagat fireballs had mix-ups on the wake up. Oh man, yeah, that shit was crazy. It was crazy.
Stop swearing.
It's hard. Also, according to the FCC, when you say shit, and you're saying it as a collection of things, as in like shit was hype, it is not a curse word. If it's good enough for TV, it's good enough for us, Steve. The FCC says so. Okay?
Podcasts are not governed by the FCC.
Well,
their rules do not apply. You're just making my job harder.
Well, you know what? you can blame Frosty Faustings for being so gosh dang hype.
Can we talk about how big these tournaments were?
Yes.
Because they hit, you know, we talk about online tournaments being capped, and so often they don't really come close to hitting them. But, I mean, you had a bunch of big tournaments there. You had Fighting Herds, which was capped at 128. It hit it. Marvel hit 128. Third Strike hit 128. Tekken hit 128. What else? Power Rangers was close to 128. Alpha 2 was over 100. Skullgirls hit 256. Mortal Kombat was over 100. And then we talked about Plus R. 457.
Wow.
For Plus R. That is a ridiculous tournament.
That is a ton of people. And for that to be an online tournament, too, that's huge.
Yeah. So, good stuff to the entire team out at Frosty.
Yeah, big round of applause for them. It's cool to have a major back, you know what I'm saying? Even though it's not, like, back-back, but it's back, kind of.
Yeah. It's nice to have that. You know, like I said when we talked about it before, you know, because CEO really isn't doing, or at least last year they didn't do a huge nationwide online thing. It was just sort of Florida, Georgia, Southeast region. Combo Breaker didn't really have an online tournament. A lot of the Big E stuff doesn't have online components. So this really felt like the first really big 25 games under one tent. Let's have top eights on stage. It was the first event in a long time that had that sort of feel.
For sure.
And it's good to have that back.
And it was fun. It was, you know, I never thought I would say this. It was fun watching it on Twitch and seeing, like, all the Stream Monster names that you recognize from every tournament. Even if they're, like, you know, the Stream Monsters you don't want to remember. But even though they were there, I was just like, oh, yeah, this is cool. I feel like I'm hanging out with my friends even though I'm not participating. It was sick. I had a good time. Speaking of good times, Steve, there were more good times had before our show.
There were. Yesterday, if you were on Twitch, there was a little bit of hypeness going on. And that was called KI Lives. This was the Killer Instinct tournament that was a partnership between Maximilian and Twitch Rivals. We saw the first one being UMVC3 tournament. I want to say it was last month. It was either December or January where they ran that. This time they ran KI Lives. I didn't get a chance to check it out myself, but I'm definitely trying to catch highlights or catch some of the top eight later in the week.
I got to see it.
How was it?
It was dope. I had a really good time watching it. I play KI. I'm sad I didn't get invited, you know, because at the end of the day, I just get FOMO when I don't get invited to things. So thanks, Maximilian, for that. And yeah, I'm a nobody in Killer Instinct, but still, what about my feelings? All joking aside, though, there were some matches that were incredible. We see up here on the top eight, Letalis brought out his Aghanos. We saw Raven is Raw. We saw the guy that got second at KI United, Crazy Skate Nate. Unfortunately, we didn't see Skate Fast E-ass. I'm kind of sad about that one, you know. But it was a 32-man invitational, and man, seeing some high-level KI and seeing Max, Steve, and I unfortunately don't know the name of the third commentator that was there, but seeing them all get hype over KI again, it was super fun. I had a really good time. And on top of it all, the way Twitch Rivals works is you have the mainstream, right, which was Maximilian's. Shin Tristan, thank you there. You have the mainstream, which was on Maximilian's channel, and then they had the Twitch Rivals overlay, which if you clicked on it, it would send you to every player's stream. Like, you could go see every individual player streaming, all 32 of them. And it was so cool. It was so cool. Because even if they weren't on stream, they were just, like, looking at the bracket, analyzing the tournament, doing all this other stuff. So you got to see, like, this other side of tournaments that you don't usually get to see. I don't know if they did that for Marvel Lives or not. I unfortunately didn't get to see it. But I had a real good time. Anyway, let's talk about these results.
So it came down to a showdown between Hologram and Wheels. They met in winners finals. Hologram took that. Wheels ran it back in grand finals, but Hologram ended up taking it in the reset to win. Wheels, your second place finisher, he is actually going to be a guest on Ultra Chat when we're done. So if you want to keep FGC Talk Night going, that's the place you want to be when we're done. Nikki and Letalis rounding out your top four. You see the Chronicle and Raven, Sonic Dolphin, and Water Horses. The Water Horses is a great story because he was someone that no one knew about. He had never gone to an offline event until KI World Cup that one year. Mm-hmm. He was known as a great online player. And then he ended up showing that he can actually play offline too. So good to see him get some more shine. He rounded out top eight.
The thing I found so interesting is during the tournament, they also reminisced a lot about past Killer Instincts and past players that are no longer around for Killer Instinct. So this was and I think this tournament, the way this tournament culminated was it was kind of I won't say old school because most of the old school players aren't around anymore, but like it was like the middle school and then the new school players all like clashing together. It's like all the people that you know from tournaments like Bass, Nikki, Wheels, everybody that you would know from tournament, and a bunch of newer players who have been grinding it out online. Maximilian puts on a good party. I'm a fan. What else do we have, Steve?
Well, we can take a look into the crystal ball.
Yes.
Because we've got another busy week. Starting on Thursday, Street Fighter League US, the final week of the regular season, takes place airs on Thursday, I should say. Friday, we'll talk about that in a little bit, but PlayStation's got an FGC arcade showcase involving Mortal Kombat, Uni, Soul Cal, and BB Tag. That will be on their channel. Saturday, you've got the Taste Buds Bout, which is another one of the Tekken King of the Hill events that Bandai Namco is supporting. You also have Mortal Kombat Pro League on Sunday, the third round of North America's tournaments. And then on Saturday, Friday night into Saturday, on the Capcom Fighters channel, you have the free airing of the Street Fighter League Japanese final that took place last week on pay-per-view. So if you'll remember, you could pay about $10 to buy a ticket to watch it live, or you could wait until this coming Saturday and watch it for free. So it's sort of like the Mulan of Capcom Fighters.
So it's live.
It was live.
No, it is live. Just like every other Street Fighter League episode.
See, Street Fighter League is kayfabe live. The Street Fighter League US, at least, is kayfabe live. Street Fighter League Japan, they were very adamant. They've already said that it was recorded. So we can talk about this being recorded.
Okay, Street so it's Fighter US League, live.
Yeah, it's U.S. live.
Okay.
So.
Cool.
Here we go. Here I am ruining the business.
Yeah, you know, it's okay. It's okay. oh, man. Is this show live? Is it Japanese live? Is it U.S. live? We'll never know. Cool. So is that it for the recap? Is there anything else more?
That's it for the recap this week.
Okay, solid.
But we should probably touch on the PlayStation stuff.
Yes.
Since we directly mentioned.
Yep, you mentioned it. So, I don't know if you guys saw this or not. I saw it on a tweet that there is this new fangled shenanigans called the PlayStation FGC Arcade. What does that mean, Steve?
Well, I believe we have a trailer for it.
Do we? Wow. It's almost like we prepared for the show beforehand.
Somebody did.
You're killing me. He has no limit.
You are killing me, Alon. What do you mean, but yeah, you're killing me. You're killing me, Smalls. You are killing me.
We'll stop it.
Stop killing me.
You know, it's cool to see PlayStation. Is PlayStation like the biggest company that's supported FGC so far? Well, I mean, I guess Pocky and Cup of Noodles were Evo sponsors, and Capcom Cup sponsors. Red Bull's also pretty big. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, Nintendo. If
well,
whether you count Smash as part of the FGC or not, I do. But
well, I mean, I don't know if you call Nintendo supporting the FGC.
It's technically support. It's sort of like the way my poster supports the wall. It's there.
Yeah, you know, that's
it
true.
It technically helps.
That is true.
You take it out, it's not going to collapse, but it's sort of, it counts, I guess. I don't know.
You know, Steve, they mentioned that Soul Calibur 6 is one of the games on there of the FGC arcade, and I don't know if you know this or not. I don't know if I talked to you about this, but there was a leak on the next DLC character for Soul Calibur 6, and we have exclusive footage of that character.
Do we?
Yes. Let's
check that out.
We're going to have to delete the VOD. You're going to edit this off the YouTube, right? Because it's a leak, of course, and I don't want to get sued by Bandai Namco. So everybody, just keep this on the DL, all right? But we have exclusive footage of the next DLC character. And here they are.
Let's check this out.
I'm going to go ahead. It's Bernie Sanders.
Why? This does not need to exist. That does not need to exist. That simply does not. No. 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 Stop. This needs to stop.
Wow, look at that counter hit. Yeah, the counter hit low. It's pretty crazy. Anyway, get some of those progressive policies right in your face. Anyway, we would like to formally welcome Bernie Sanders to the Soul Calibur 6 roster. Congratulations. Anyway, like I said, keep that on the hush-hush. They should be announcing it anytime soon. Anyhoozle.
That just did not need to happen. I'm sorry.
Of course it did. Yeah, you know what? Trevzor is right. With the mittens, he should have been a grappler. And I agree. Well, I mean, he was doing... What's that called? Spine busters? I don't know what they're... I don't know the wrestling terms. But anywho, that wasn't the only thing that got... Well, that this was a leak, but there's more game updates and stuff coming. Let's talk about some of those, shall we? First...
Hold on. We gotta talk about the PlayStation thing.
Oh, there's more. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
There's a whole bunch of players. So this is going to be a series of exhibition matches starting at on Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. It's going to go back and forth between all the various games. It starts at noon with... Key versus Dexus, Nivek versus Foxy Grandpa in MK11. You've got Sonic Fox, Party Wolf, Fame 96, Red Blade, Mighty Unjust versus Sonic Fox being the main event in MK11. So, yeah, a bunch of first of fives if you want to check that out. It's cool to see, you know, sort of a fight card style thing. The one thing that does surprise me, considering the history between Sony and Capcom, especially with the development of Street Fighter V, no Street Fighter V in the lineup.
That is true. That is a good point. Ow, sorry, I just punched my microphone.
What's your microphone ever do to you?
It's being a jerk. But anywho, yeah, that is very interesting. I didn't think about that. No Street Fighter V. Could that be because... Street Fighter 6 was supposed to be on there instead of Street Fighter 5, but because of the way Street Fighter 6 development has gone, huh? finish that sentence however you will. Yeah, Street Fighter V isn't part of the PlayStation Open series either. That's Mortal Kombat 11, Uniclear, and... Is it Blazblue?
Soul Calibur.
Oh, it's Soul Calibur.
Yeah, but BB Tag isn't.
I thought BB Tag was in there. Oh, well. Or was it Granblue? I don't know. BB Tag is. See, Blue is right. Blue's always right. So I trust Blue. Sometimes. But no, this is super cool. It's super cool that, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, it's sad that it can't be open bracket so everybody can hop in and have a good old time. But at least we get to get hype and PlayStation's footing the bill. So good stuff to PlayStation. Good stuff to PlayStation.
You can't undo it, Alon. Once it's out there, that toothpaste is back, is out of the tube.
Or you could just eat the toothpaste.
No, why would you do that?
Because the fluoride is good for your teeth. Anywho, anything else we want to say about the PlayStation Arcade series? FGC Arcade?
I don't know if there's anything I want to say.
Okay, great. Just
in general.
Great. Let's go through some of the newer stuff that's coming in, right? So we talked about Bernie Sanders' leak in Soul Calibur 6. There have been things that have been formally announced. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I can't find it. I hope someone in chat can. But I know Demon Dan tweeted out a picture when everyone was doing the Bernie art of him doing Zangief's super from Street Fighter 4.
Yep.
And it was perfect.
The Super SPD.
Yes.
It was good. It was good. The mittens fit. The mittens fit. All right, let's talk about
some
of these.
I'll link it in chat if I can find it.
Okay, let's talk about some of these new things that are coming down the pipeline, shall we? First, King of Fighters, new trailer. Hopefully it'll be better than the last one. Let's see. Oh, it's Betty Morrow. All right.
So it seems like they're going to be putting out one of these every week.
Whoa, Team Hero. Were there teams like that before?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, I guess those are the heroes, and we can shadow next week.
You don't remember Team USA Sports?
No. What is that?
Oh, God. It was Lucky Globber. Who else? Oh, American Sports Team. Excuse me. Who else was on there? It was Lucky. It was... Heavy D and Brian Battler. Heavy D. God.
Heavy D. Okay. See, I'm a KOF scrub, so I didn't know KOF 94 just forced you to pick teams, not individual characters. That's, man, are they going to go that way? No, probably not. Let's hope not, at least. But yeah. I hope that's not the rework. Man, I can't believe I just put that out in the world. Everybody forget I said that, just like the other curse words on this podcast so far. So there you go. Benny Morrow. I think the new design looks cool. He looks more flamboyant than he has ever looked, and that's not a bad thing. I'm a fan.
Yeah. Like, now we're at the point where everyone who has already been confirmed has already fought each other in these launch trailers, and so now it's just going to be new info,
mm-hmm.
new characters.
And we can wait for more next week.
So
next week this week?
It's usually been Thursdays that they
Why
put out.
Why does everybody put stuff out on Thursdays? Why
because
not Mondays?
That's the magic. They don't care about us. Well, they care about everybody.
Well, they better start caring about us. What about my feelings? Huh? Jerks. Anywho, what's next on the docket? Let's talk more about things coming down the pipeline. This one was a big shock, Steve. Everybody couldn't believe. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. I was like, "Whoa, this is still a thing." It's crazy. And let's take a gander at this this old trailer here. Autumn Games, huh? Well, so we don't have a date, so we can still ask when's any, as much as we want. But dang, new Skullgirls
what
character.
What a way to end it. What a way to end it.
For
right?
sure. It's so... What is this?
A second.
Wow, they're adding another character to Skullgirls.
This is a game that doesn't die. The launch party is still her day.
Annie, are you okay? I stole that joke from Finitude in the chat. But man, a new character to Skullgirls that doesn't exist yet on the mobile game. It's probably Terry Bogard. Yeah.
Contractually obligated. It has to be Terry. It has to be Terry from
King of Fighters.
What was it? King of Fighters gal. What was it called?
SNK Heroines?
SNK Heroines, yes. I'm thinking of the crazy subtitle.
I can't think of the subtitle either. But man, it's cool to see this game get support again. Skullgirls still getting support, still getting new characters. It's crazy. I thought that game had a lot of characters already. I guess there's never enough. Oh, I mean, it is a team game, so I guess that makes sense, right?
Well, it doesn't have to be a team game. If you want to run solo double, you can. I don't know why you would, but you can.
That's true. Let's talk about new things coming out. Still, there were a lot of announcements this week. And we need to step on the gas here because some of these topics are going to be a little bit hefty towards the end of the show. So let's step on the gas. First, let's talk about Capcom. We heard last week that Capcom Cup had been canceled. No more Capcom Cup finals. Sad times. However, we got new information this week. And here it is. Actually, it was last week, but you know, whatever. You always announce this stuff later. So, the Capcom Pro Tour 2020 season final. It's no longer a cup. It is a season final, and it is coming February 20th to the 21st. And it is going to be a set of 1v1 fight cards of each region. So each region had two finalists come out of it. Those are going to be the people that went to Capcom Cup. So now it's going to be those two finalists are going to be in a final for each region. So it's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what, Steve? Blue is right. I was calling out who was who for the audio listeners because they cannot see the trailer that we were playing.
Well, here's the thing. Because of copyright, I have to pretty much cut the entire trailer out anyway.
Now you don't have to.
Well, I don't want to get shut down. I don't want to get hit with the copyright strike. So.
And now you don't have to.
So we haven't heard anything about pricing. We don't know if there's going to be an appearance fee for players. But yeah, it's going to be 12 matchups split over 2 days. Some long set exhibitions, and it's going to be pair up players who qualified from the same region against each other, throwing in a few extra to round out some of the matchups for players that didn't necessarily have a pair. Also, Fanatical Milk, who was Trevzor? Last year, the Evo announcement came during. Came at the end of February.
Mm-hmm.
So it is technically possible that there may be some sort of Evo event this year. However, the Evo account hasn't tweeted since the close of the Evo online.
We'll just call it the fall.
Registration. Before the fall. Mm-hmm. Before that event got canceled due to the Wizard allegations.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say it's a pretty good bet that there is no Evo in 2021, but we don't know for sure.
Yeah. Not that, I mean, it was just going to be an online thing anyway. Let's be real. All right. Steve, I have this graphic for you.
All right. Let's take a look at these matchups. There's some good ones here. So as we said, pairing the regional qualifiers against each other. So you've got Jalehe and Picoro coming in South America. Luffy versus Phenom in Europe. That should be a good one. Nephew Samurai. Mandrake versus CJ Truth. CJ, I believe CJ was one of the players added on to build it up to 24. Rumors versus Somniac holding down Australia, and JWeb versus VX Bow rounding out day one. Day two, Kaba versus Mena.
That's going to be crazy.
Ooh. And Angry Bird versus Big Bird.
The Battle of the Birds.
Those are honestly the two I'm looking forward to the most. SKZ versus Cien, Takamura, Infectious should be a fun one. IDOM Smug, another good one.
And LBC is back on the map.
And Daigo Gachikun. So, some very, very good matchups.
Yeah, according to Haru on in our chat, apparently Daigo and Gachikun just did a first to 10 in Topanga at the start of the year. So they're back.
Well, you get to add. You get a chance to adapt, and then you get a chance to readapt. That's always interesting, because as a set goes longer, you're more in a shorter set. You're playing the character, and you're playing against the player, obviously. Mm-hmm. But as the set goes on, you're playing against the player's adaptations. So you start doing things that wouldn't necessarily make sense if you were playing another. If you were just playing a first to two against Daigo, you might make a move that doesn't make sense or that makes perfect sense there. Later in the set, if you're doing a first to 10, you might not do that because you're expecting him to have the answer for that. So those matches get so weird in long sets, and I'm really interested to see, especially after you just went through that process mm-hmm. not too long ago, to see how that plays out again.
For sure. I'm super excited to see it, man. You know, if we just get to see more things happen, and that's never a bad thing, especially with some of these matches, man. Some of these matches are... if you thought that was it for Capcom announcements, boy, are you wrong. Because along with that, we received this tweet today, mind you. The winner update for Street Fighter V. Tune into the Street Fighter V winner update live stream for the latest on news on Season 5 contents. February 11th at 9 a.m. Why is it on Thursday again? F word. Not the commentator, but the word. And always on Thursday. I swear, they're purposefully doing this to us. But anyway... next week, on Thursday, hopefully we're going to get a date. Or, even more hopefully, they will say, it's available tomorrow! And then we're all going to go crazy, and everybody's going to play Street Fighter for another month. I'm looking forward to it. You know, hopefully we'll get to see more of Dan. Hopefully we'll get to see more of whoever they're planning on bringing in for Season 5. I'm excited. And if they're going to do it like they did last time, where they sit down and they're like, hey, this is what's been going on and what we've been working on and how things are going. I'm a big fan. Straight up. Show me the PowerPoints, baby.
I'm a little surprised, honestly, that they're doing it on its own and not as part of a weekend with Capcom Cup or with the Capcom Cup Online Showcase.
Maybe they're going to say, hey, after Capcom Cup, you should stick around, you know, like they always do. So maybe this is just like an update, like spoken word update. That's like, things are going great. Now tune into Capcom Cup season finals. Yeah, they're probably just going to say, hey, we're going to release Dan after the Capcom Cup finals. Probably something like that. You know, the other great thing is that our buddy Trevzor has used their Twitch Prime to resubscribe for 22 months. Thank you, Trevzor, for being a bestie. We appreciate you. It's good to see you.
The only thing I would think is possibly a peek at Rose at Capcom Cup at this point.
They can't even throw the confetti with the coloring anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll throw the confetti. Maybe one of the stipulations for commentators is they have to dump a bucket of confetti on their head at the end. That'd be really funny. Jesus. Oh, man, that'd be really funny. And I would always also hate for that to be a thing, because then they have to clean up their own house/rooms. But that's cool. So next week, after our show on Thursday, we'll get to see some Capcom content coming out. And if you thought that was the only thing Capcom announced. Boy, were you wrong. Because they sent out something, which I don't think was... I don't think this was around, but now that I'm looking at it, it says it was last updated on July 29th, 2020. So maybe this has been around. But Capcom released the official Capcom co-streamer guidelines. So if you would like to stream Capcom things, Street Fighter V specifically, you have to go sign up. If you go to streetfighter.com/co-stream, they show you all of the guidelines, everything you have to follow, everything you have to sign up with, and on top of it all, you also have to report back a couple of things. It's a little crazy. But this way, it ensures that everybody who is restreaming, or co-streaming rather, a Capcom season finals or a Capcom tournament of any kind or a Capcom anything, this ensures that they get some information back so that they can then do something with it. Maybe get it hacked or I don't know.
Yeah, so this is something they've done before. They've done it for Street Fighter League. They've done it, I believe they did it for Capcom Cup last year. I could be wrong. Capcom Cup 2019, I should say. Mm. But yeah, it's not brand new. It is something Capcom has done before. It is, you know, obviously it's there. They do have limitations on specific things, so you can't necessarily disparage Capcom while you're doing it, mm-hmm. which makes sense. Obviously, but so yeah.
Yeah, they don't go into a lot of detail on what disparaging it, so the actual thing is the co-stream may not be disparaging, defamatory, or harmful in any way to the Capcom stream. What does that mean? Heck if I know.
It probably means this, you can't say, man, this is garbage. It does give them some ability. Obviously, once you've started streaming, if you go on a rant, they can't really stop you, but they can say, hey, they can prevent you from signing up to co-stream in the future. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a couple other things here. Let's see. Item one, they basically just define what everything is. Item two is application to the official co-stream doesn't guarantee acceptance, blah, blah, blah. Three, this one is the one that I think kind of caught me by surprise, and it's the co-streamer must co-stream the entirety of the Capcom stream, which they have been authorized to broadcast. No breaks for you, sir. You gotta sit there and watch it the entire day. Good luck. That's an interesting little addendum, you know? And then they say that basically they can use your recording to Capcom stuff, which is fine. That's what you're signing up for. Then there was a couple of other things. Where is it? This one is a big one that I think might catch a couple people off by surprise. There's actually two of these. Is the co-streamer is required to place an official Capcom co-streamer logo, the logo, on the co-stream where such logo is clearly visible, and Capcom's going to provide it. And then they have limitations on like where the logo is and blah, 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 all this other stuff. And then the co-streamer must report the following co-stream viewership, KPI, and logo compliance to Capcom within 2 business days of the co-stream. So that's pretty interesting. I don't think it's necessary. Big for Low, I don't think this is necessarily like horse rules. I think it's just a way for them to basically like, I'm reading what the chat said, Steve. It's a way for them to keep track of everything of theirs, right? Because at the end of the day, this is Capcom's thing, right? And this was one thing I actually did notice. It was during the Frosty Faustings top 8 that there was both a stream on BG Callisto and NYC Furby. They were both streaming the top 8. And the NYC Furby top 8 had different commentators than the BG Callisto. And the BG Callisto stream looked like it was the official one, so I don't know what was going on with NYC Furby. And I'm not saying what he was doing was right, wrong, or whatever. I'm just saying they were both streaming plus our top 8, and I got real confused, especially when I tuned into NYC Furby and heard 2 people commentating. that were not the people on stream commentating. So I think this is just a good way of preventing this from happening, right? Because a lot of people do co-stream Capcom events. And to be completely honest, once I started watching other people watch Capcom events, I feel like I enjoy it a lot better when I'm watching it with another personality, right? Like, for example, I watch it a lot with Flo. I think Flo's great at presenting information. Seijam does the same thing. A bunch of other commentators and players also do the same thing. So I think this is a good way for Capcom to, A, keep a tabs on what's going on and making sure that nobody is hurting their IP, and capitalizing on the metrics for it, right? Because at the end of the day, since they're asking for that information, the analytics, they can use that to help propel or to help negotiate other things in the future. See what I'm saying? So I don't think it's a thing that's going to hurt. I don't think it's a thing. They're asking for a lot and giving nothing in return. Well, they're giving you the permission to co-stream their thing. Right? Because at the end of the day, they could just say, hey, nobody's allowed to co-stream this. You have to go to the Capcom channel. And then they could work with Twitch and get people in trouble. Right? So, Eris would have given up Tekken sooner. Big for a little. You're not wrong if Bamco did this. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, I see where they're coming from. And I don't think this is too outlandish or anything like that. I think these are very, what do you call it? I think these are very sensible rules. And they make sense.
Streaming is still in a weird place, because you've got where the letter of the law is and where reality is for a lot of stream companies, streamers. The letter of the law is it's Capcom's. They can do whatever they want. If they want to say no one else can stream it, they absolutely can. It's in their right. The reality is, Capcom gets a lot of benefit from having people like Flo and Seijam and other people who are sort of tangent to the FGC, like someone like Maximilian. Mm-hmm. He has a large following within the FGC, but he also has a large following outside of it. So if he were to introduce that on his stream, if he were to co-stream, that adds value for Capcom. So they kind of have to play this dance where, okay, we want to have control over it. We don't want to have LTG co-streaming this because we don't want to be associated with that. But we also want to include the community because excluding the community is bad PR for us. So it's this fine little dance they're trying to play.
Yes.
Let's go with yes.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, like, all they're asking for is to put a tiny logo on top. And they have other, guidelines where it's like you can't have an overlay on top of the stream. You have to have the stream on a separate, very fully visible side that doesn't have any overlays on top of it, which makes sense because, you know, you're signing the agreement to co-stream it, so you're going to have to see all the sponsors and all this other shenanigans. And if you have overlays on top of it, that impedes that. And, you know, all they want is for the stream to be visible so it looks good and everybody can see all the sponsors that are paying money for it. And that's why they want those analytics, is to report back to the sponsors. And put a Capcom logo on it, which makes sense because it's like, hey, go, this is where it's happening, right? I just think honestly, when you take something away, like the free ability to just co-stream whatever you want, people are going to get upset about it, sure. But I don't see this as a bad thing at all. I think this is actually a great solution to a problem that exists on Twitch. So there we go. Anything else we want to talk about concerning Capcom guidelines and anything else that was updated?
I think...
Sorry.
Whoa. Hold on. Are you dead?
I almost drowned in air. Go on.
That can actually happen.
Yes.
Which is weird.
Go on.
No, I'm good. I'm good. We're
okay.
Don't die. Do not die. That's all I ask.
Okay. Do we want to talk about GameStop stuff? Because I kind of want to talk about GameStop stuff because that stuff is fascinating to me.
We might as well. I'll let you take center stage on this.
Okay, great. I'm going to try to make this as quick as possible. So, for those of you that don't know, there's been a lot of crazy shenanigans happening with GameStop, of all things. And it, the GameStop stock has been used to take down the entirety of of Wall Street. Diamond hands all around. so here is the lowdown on what's happening. There, a practice on Wall Street, which is, it's tanking, Q-ball, it's tanking, but I'm going to get to that because it's not a bad thing. A very common practice on Wall Street is something called shorting, right? And I'm going to explain what shorting is very quickly. First of all, supply and demand, everybody knows, right? There's a supply, there's a demand. If demand is higher than the supply, things are more expensive, blah, blah, blah. Economy 101. Shorting is when a company borrows stock. So it's not theirs. They're borrowing it. They're selling the stock to people in hopes that the stock falls and tanks. And then they buy it back at the cheaper price and give the stocks back so they keep the difference, right? So it's basically like if you had three coins that whose values are not set, and at the time, those three coins are worth a dollar, and you say to your friend, hey, can I borrow those three coins for 3 weeks? And they go, sure. And you know that coin is going to change value in 1 week. So then you go to your other friends and you're like, hey, look at these $1 coins. Do you want to buy them? They go, sure. So you give out three $1 coins. After that 1 week, the value of the coin drops to 50 cents. So you're like, hey, I need those coins back. Let me buy them from you. They're worth 50 cents. So you get them back for half the value. And then you give them back to your friend. And all of a sudden, you have the difference between the $1 and the 50 cents, right? You sold things for $1 and you bought them back for 50 cents. So you have the difference in your bank account. Now imagine that times a billion. That's what shorting stocks are. So, and it, the crappy thing is it's a very predatory thing to do, right? Because at the end of the day, you're hoping that a stock's going to fail. So a bunch of hedge funds started shorting GameStop stocks. Now, the difference with the normal shorting and what these hedge funds are doing is that they were shorting with options. Options essentially are stocks you don't own yet. Options are just you basically reserve something for a specific price and then you buy it. So you sign a contract that's like, when this stock gets to this price, I'm gonna buy it. And this contract has an expiration period. So what happened is some of these hedge fund companies put options on GameStop stock and then shorted with those options, which is illegal. And the people from Wall Street Bets saw this happening and were like, hey, screw that. So they just started buying GameStop stock, which drove up the price. And all of a sudden, these stocks that signed these option contracts are screwed because the price skyrocketed. And it skyrocketed in such a dramatic way that those hedge funds don't have enough money to buy all those stocks back, right? And their contract is going to expire. And most commonly in options contracts, you're forced to buy the stock once the contract ends. So that's the big battle right now. It's a bunch of people buying GameStop stock to drive up the price and holding so that when these contracts expire, the hedge funds have to buy the stock at whatever price they are and they're going to go under. Cool? That's basically what's been happening. So it's on top of everything, right? We got to see the two Americas that exist, which is the America for the wealthy and the America for the common man, because once this happened, the wealthy people of Wall Street started calling all these brokerage apps, which is like Robinhood, E-Trade, TD Ameritrade, all this other stuff. And since they already have a deal where they get information before it actually hits the stock, which is already kind of semi-illegal anyway, but it's not because, you know, it's Wall Street, money talks. They basically found a way of, well, not that they basically found a way. What's been happening is these brokerage apps have been preventing people from trading GameStop or GameStop stock. And that's been causing the price to fall artificially, right? Because they can't buy more. They can only sell according to these brokerage apps. Now, whether it's because these brokerage apps don't have the money, right? Because there's so many stocks being bought all at the same time, if it's because they don't have the money, or if it's a more nefarious thing where you have these hedge funds calling the owners of these brokerage apps, trying to artificially control the market, which is illegal because it's a free market. That's what capitalism is. Then it's a big problem, right? And the fact that it's happening in broad daylight is what's kind of pissing everybody off. So that's the baseline of what's happening with GameStop stocks. And the fact that it's all based on GameStop is hilarious because, you know, us as gamers, like, we hate GameStop because Their business model was and predatory to us who want to trade back our games, and we get 5 cents and they sell it for $50. The thing that's happened today is that the brokerage apps have once again been unable to allow people to buy GameStop stock. So all this is essentially everybody bought GameStop stocks. These hedge funds were shorting GameStop with stocks that don't exist, right? Because they bought the options, right? Remember, and it's that contract. It's basically a reservation. So the stock doesn't actually exist. So with everybody buying those GameStop stocks, these hedge funds, which is, by the way, hedge funds are, you know, retirement money, 401ks, all this other stuff. Invest in BOV. I agree, Trevzor. So it's already like the people who are saving money for later, trusting these hedge funds with their money, are now all getting screwed, which is terrible. But at the same time, this was one of those things that needed to happen. So the beautiful thing is all of the people who bought the GameStop stocks, all they have to do is hold. Because there are not enough stocks to go around, and these option contracts are going to end, and all of these hedge funds are going to be screwed. And that's kind of the big battle that's going on right now, is they're, the big hedge funds are trying every trick in the book, legal or illegal, to try to get the stock to fall artificially. And the beauty of it is all the Wall Street Bets guys, the Reddit that kind of started this whole thing, all people have to do if you have GameStop stock is to just hold. That's it. That's it. And then once we, and we, unfortunately, we don't have the information of when the contract ends for the short, these option contracts, but when they do end, all these hedge funds are going to go bye-bye. And then it's one of those realizations that, you know, the little man in numbers can take down the big man. And that's where we're at. It's not too late. Just because the stock is tanking now doesn't mean that there is enough stock to go around. Because again, remember, they did this with options. So yeah, and it's been so funny to see, like, you know, a bunch of people saying like, oh, we have to pause the stock market so that investors can realign and all this other stuff. It's like, nah, you do this to other people, but now it's being done to you and you want to stop the whole boat? Nah. But anyway, that's what's going on with GameStop. I hope my ramblings made sense.
I have invested in water, and I am depositing that water into my mouth.
The other thing that's been happening, too, is a bunch of people started buying Dogecoin for whatever reason, and I've remembered that I had a little bit of money into Dogecoin. Let's see where it's at. I think I spent like $5 or $6 on Dogecoin before, and the Dogecoin I have is now worth $324. To the moon, baby! Let's get Dogecoin to $100. But yeah. Anyway,
I have absolutely no idea why Dogecoin is relevant in 2021.
It was one of those things where, like, once the brokerage apps stopped people from buying GameStop, everybody just got so pissed that they were like, "Let's buy Dogecoin." So what happened.
I know why it's relevant. I just don't know why it's relevant in 2021. It's just, oh my god. The internet is a weird place. Look, that, man, is my takeaway.
If Dogecoin hits Bitcoin levels, which a Bitcoin is about $33,000 rather. If a Dogecoin gets to that level, I'm a millionaire. And I'm going to fund Best of Five, and I'm going to buy Best of Five an island.
But that's a huge if.
It might happen. Dogecoin, in December, GameStop stock was $2. Today, it is like hanging around $100 or so. And at its peak, when all this was happening, it was around $300, $400. Dogecoin in December was 0.002 cents for one Dogecoin. Today, it's at 3 cents. And at its height, it was at 8 cents. So, $2. I meant 2 cents. Yeah, no, $2. Yeah, the GameStop stock was $2 at its lowest in December. Like, it wasn't even double digits. So imagine if you had like 100 GameStop stocks that you bought for $2 each. So you spent $200. Today, if you had 100, you have like $10,000 worth of GameStop stock. And it can only go up to the moon. That's the big meme going around. To the moon. Anyway, that's all the stock stuff happening. It's hilarious that it's all like around GameStop. It's so funny to me. Because I hate GameStop. But the fact that GameStop is being used to take down predatory Wall Street practices is unbelievable. Like, there's, you can't write this. It's too much of a crazy irony. Ugh. Anyway.
Deposit water into your mouth. That's my investment tip.
Okay. Wait, where's the straw? There it is.
That's a good investment right there.
I bought this for $20. It's a gallon. It's pretty good.
Not bad.
But yeah, that's the big battle is the people who have the stocks just have to hold, and Wall Street bigwigs are doing everything they can to try to get people to sell it so that they can afford to buy those back. So that's where we're at.
Yeah. I wish I could have got into all of this, but I have this one problem that
me too.
I don't know how to put this. I forget the word. Broke. Yeah, I'm broke.
Why do you think they're called brokerages at brokerage apps? You know?
You got me there. You got me there.
I am kind of sad I didn't have GameStop stock. I did try. I tried stock trading like 10 years ago now. Well, 9 years ago. And it didn't end well for me. So I kind of stayed away from it. A lot of expensive mistakes were had. But yeah, that's what's been going on with the world. And again, it's all around GameStop. And it's hilarious to me. So what's next on the docket?
We could talk about... We talked about new fighting game characters a while back. Let's talk about a potential new fighting game. Maybe, sort of, kind of.
Oh, yeah. Go for it.
All right. So this is something that is making its way into the world, potentially. There was a little get-together, a little chat between some people who are big figures in the history of Street Fighter. And the topic came up of producing a brand new fighting game, which, you know, a lot of people do, but these are some of the heavy hitters. We're talking about Yoshiki Okamoto, who is a former head of Capcom's arcade division, went on to create Monster Strike, which is the second highest grossing mobile game in history. We're also talking about people like Akira Nishitani, excuse me, who did character design for Street Fighter II, went on to co-found Arika, the company behind Fighting EX Layer. Noritaka Furumizu, who was a producer on several of the Street Fighter games, and Yoko Shimomura, who was a music composer on Street Fighter II as well as for the Kingdom Hearts series. They got together and they sort of said, hey, let's make a fighting game. And they said, yeah, let's do that. Now it looks like they might actually be doing it. Everyone thought it was a joke. But the talk now is the potential of them making sort of a parody fighting game that has some real old school blocky graphics, talking about Virtua Fighter 1 sort of graphics. So the idea of I love the idea of a parody that is also a love letter. It's why Black Dynamite is one of my favorite movies, and probably my favorite movie, because it was a beautiful send-up of blaxploitation films, but it was also a loving tribute to that era. And the same, and you know, if we have a fighting game version of Black Dynamite, I'm all aboard for that. So that should be fun. If it does end up happening, who knows?
More fighting games is never a bad thing. Well, actually, is it? I don't know. There is such a thing as oversaturation and all that. But I don't think more fighting games is ever a bad thing.
If more good fighting games is never a bad thing. You know, true. As long as it's done well, there's room at the table for everybody.
Very true.
Because I do feel quality can rise to the top. You know, obviously you need a little bit of luck, a little bit of shine, a little bit of attention in a crowded marketplace. But if you make a good game, people will play it. And hopefully with these heavy hitters behind it, if they do end up making it, it will be a good game.
For sure. Well, we can only hope, right? What's that one fighting game that came out where you got to pick commentators as assists? I've always wanted to play it, but I never got the chance to play it. And like Ultra Chen's in it. A couple other people are in it. Yatagarasu, thank you. I've never played that game. I've always wanted to. Maybe that's what I'll do this weekend.
I tried dabbling in it because they had, I think it was CEO the year I went, where they had a setup. This was one of the earlier versions. And, you know, I enjoyed it. It didn't really hit me as well as it hit for some other people, but I enjoyed my little bit of time with it.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm just going to spend like $10 to go play it or something. All right. Anything else we need to chickity chat about here before we go? We got about 10 minutes left.
We got a couple things. One thing that's sad that I didn't necessarily... I wish it wasn't a thing, but it's a thing.
Do you want to go into it?
I think we should.
Okay.
So, earlier this week, Queens of Quarantine came into the spotlight for reasons that wish wouldn't have been, you know? Queens of Quarantine is a group that focused on female and female-identifying players, giving them a chance to play. They had partnered with... the online local, formerly Reddit Street Fighter. They had partnered with several other things to get women playing fighting games, which was a great initiative, which remains a great initiative. Earlier this week, one of its founding members, Chibi Goddess, went on Twitter and after an offline run-in with a black neighbor, that got very heated, took to Twitter and said that they were done with black people for the day. And obviously a lot of people reacted very strongly to that. She went into the incident. She felt that the person she had an incident with was racist towards her. Being of Asian descent, and sort of doubled down on that. There was a huge amount of blowback to the point where the Queens of Quarantine announced that they condemned her statements and were ceasing operations for the time being. Also, several organizations, including Crescent Esports and the online local, said that they were going to cease working with Queens of Quarantine. So, very unfortunate that something like this happened for an effort that I feel has really good aims. Do you have any initial thoughts on this? Because I have some initial thoughts.
Racism is bad.
Yes.
Racism and it bad. Doesn't matter if you have a Black Lives Matter banner on your Twitter or not. When you're racist, you're not great. You're bad.
I think what this highlights for me is the idea that there is, even if you have good intentions in one area, that doesn't make you perfect in all areas. And the fact that she was instrumental in creating Queens of Quarantine should not take away from her doing something very, very stupid here and very, very hurtful. by the same token, the fact that she did something very, very stupid and very, very hurtful doesn't take away from the initiative that was started. It should not undermine. It should not undermine the efforts that were put in. The fact that someone involved with this particular cause, you know, fell short of doing the right thing, that should not invalidate the cause in general. And I fear that some people do that. This is especially when you talk about, you know, we get into the culture war, and oftentimes people will point at something like this to say, hey, this is not legit. It's all virtue signaling. It's all, you know, yada, yada, yada. The fact is, we've got a long way to go in the FGC to reach, you know, we talk about how the FGC is so open and so accommodating and so welcoming. And compared to other communities, yeah, that's true. But we still got a long way to go in that regard when it comes to women, when it comes to black people, Asian people, people of color. We're not perfect. No one, even the people who are doing bad things, are not perfect. The people who are doing good things are not perfect. It hurts to see someone who has done good work do something like this. It really hurts, especially, you know, just in general, but especially me as a black person. It sucks. And yeah, I'm gonna swear because I gotta edit it out anyway, so whatever.
Go ahead, Steve. I'm sorry. That was inappropriate. I apologize.
It's okay. It's okay. But yeah, we're going to continue to see efforts like this. I should point out that I've seen a little bit of confusion. Queens of Quarantine is not Combo Queens. There is obviously some overlap in the audience there, but they are two separate organizations. So yeah, that's where we're at.
Couldn't be February without a blow up Tuesday right off the bat, huh?
Blow up Tuesday, first Tuesday of Black History Month. It's just perfect storm. Perfect storm.
God. I'm sorry, Steve. I don't mean to laugh. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, here's the thing. And this has been pointed out. It's like it doesn't matter what your past is, right? Because at the end of the day, it's like we all deal with our battles. But when it comes down to being racist, like I don't fully understand it, because to me, it's easy to not be racist. But maybe it's difficult. I don't know. But like you said, Steve, I obviously have a different point of view on this one.
And that's okay. You know, your experience is different from mine, which would be different from Sharpie's experience, which would be different from everybody else's.
Yeah. I think separating the art from the artist is a good way to go here, specifically because what they have worked on is something that is very positive. However, not to compare two completely different situations, but kind of like a similar like effect after the fact is like, it's like Evo. It's like, how are they going to have to reband completely to separate from everything that's happened? What's the next step here for them to pick up and keep moving? Because this is women in the FGC has been like a very needed to be talked about situation. And this is one of those things that was helping that. So what's a way that we can move on, still have this, but separate it from the person who's causing the problem? Is that possible? We shall see.
It may be, it may not be. For some people, it's not going to be enough, because you can't separate the art from the artist, as you say. Some people can. It's it's going if and when we see Queens of Quarantine return, it's going to be a point of contention. So we'll have to wait and see. But
word,
yeah.
All right, let's talk about the last happy thing. And Steve, I'm not gonna lie to you. When I saw this picture that you put on the drive, I didn't know what to think. And then I saw what was on the dock. I was like, oh, okay. So go ahead and intro this.
Can we put up the picture first?
Okay, here it is.
Well, what you're looking at is a stretched out version of the cover of GGWP, Young Ladies Don't Play Fighting Games. This is an ongoing series of ongoing manga series that has just been announced as a new anime. The series follows Aya as she is transferred into the Kuromi Girls Academy with the goal of changing herself into a proper lady. After meeting the breathtaking Shirayuri, Aya is blown away by her elegance and posterity. Imagine her surprise, though, when she finds Shirayuri after school playing a fighting game? And if that weren't perplexing enough, she is challenged to a duel by the unladylike Shirayuri. So, be on the lookout for that anime coming soon. I know you're excited.
Wow,
I know you're excited.
This description that you just read. Oh my god, dude.
That description is courtesy of Manga Dex. So, I hope it is sufficiently exciting. I don't know which season it is coming out. I would imagine either fall, either this fall or winter. It'll be a while. If someone has a date, please let me know in the chat.
Axiomish in the chat says he's going to watch this for science. All right. I don't know why I read that out loud. Thank you, Blue, for hitting us with the mangadex.org
link. And then I've got one more thing.
Okay, go for it. What's the one more thing?
Steph, you are my bestie of the week. Thank you for everything you've done for Lexi in your life. We'll miss you.